Welcome to the Caltex Theater, a full hour of dramatic entertainment broadcast over a nationwide network of stations throughout Australia. The Caltex Theater is brought to you by Caltex Oil, marketers of over 1,000 outstanding petroleum products, in association with Caltex dealers and distributors everywhere. Tonight in the Caltex Theatre, you will hear A Tune for a Trumpet, a bright and topical comedy of an aristocratic English family who, like many of their class, beset with crippling taxation, are engaged with the problem of making their stately home pay dividends. Starring tonight, you will hear Geoffrey King, your producer, Cressick Jenkinson. The Caltex Theatre presents A Tune for a Trumpet, Act One.
Here, ladies and gentlemen, we have the Great Hall. You observe the fluted walls, the vaulted roof, and the marble floors, giving an almost overwhelming impression of a Gothic railway station. Presumably it was this that persuaded his lordship to build the extensive miniature railway you see at the far end. Well, all this part of the house was built by Capability Stevens for the 8th Earl Decrepit. It's the only sample of the architect's work still in existence, the others having collapsed in ruins. In shame or embarrassment, would you say, Headingley?
I'm not quite old enough to have seen them fall, Mr. Mordaunt. You're doing reasonably well. I've marked your card for you.
Card? Oh, what's the par for the course?
It compares very favorably with your father's when he was learning the business of conducting guided tours around one's own stately home.
History, 8 out of 10. Well, where did I slip up?
The first Earl, William de Crepavelit, came over in 1067.
Well, I thought it was 1066.
Seven, sir. The family's always hated crowds.
And where did I lose the other mark?
You referred to the 8th Earl de Crepit. It wasn't till the Restoration that the de Crepavelits became decrepit.
Well, it's a pity we ever became anything. As far as I can see, it would have been much better if we'd all died out in 1067.
Oh, is that really being respectful to your ancestors, sir, or to your parents?
Well, it's all very well for father. He was brought up in the sanctified odour of divine right. A lord is a lord, and there's not much he can do about it. But I refuse to accept that for myself. Why should I allow my life to be predetermined by an accident of fate?
I never indulge in metaphysics before dinner, sir.
You weren't born a butler, you chose to be a butler. And I choose to make a life for myself in Canada. I wasn't the eldest son, and I'm hanged if I'm going to be stuck with this ridiculous title and all it entails.
But according to the legend...
And don't start on that again, either. Idiotic fool of a thing it is. Look at it. As if it weren't repulsive enough. Some crazy ancestor had to carve it all over the chimneypiece.
But if he hadn't, intervening generations might have forgotten, sir. Still, it's only supposed to strike every seventh generation.
Ah, cold comfort for me. I am the seventh. After generation 7, death shall see that life is riven from the heir and the eldest son long before his course is run. Oh, poor old Antony. That part of the wretched thing came true for my brother anyway. And the second son inherit all that his estate do merit. Thus the family line shall be bent behind posterity. Well, apart from anything else, it makes me sound like something out of Hiawatha.
As you've decided to emigrate to Canada, that would seem to be singularly appropriate.
Ah, here you are, Headingley.
My lord.
Look, I've gone and mucked up something in this engine. Be a good chap and fix it for me, will you?
Yes, my lord.
I've got to keep my little trains in good working order, you know.
Yes, my lord. Now, I'll attend to it now. We'll have another lesson tomorrow, Mr. Mordaunt.
Eh? Lesson? What lesson was that?
How to conduct a party of rubbernecks over our stately home, Father.
Oh, my dear boy, you must be exhausted. I always am. It's all I can ever do to drag myself past that bed the monarch slept in. Still, it's all in a good cause and gives a lot of people pleasure.
Frankly, I can think of nothing less pleasing.
Oh, why are you doing it, then?
Oh, your head guard's had to go into hospital.
Oh, has he? Oh, I must go and see him.
Sir Headingley asked me if I take over while I'm here on leave. At any rate, till the new chap's ready.
Is that the new chap I've seen trailing round with Headingley lately?
Probably.
Yeah, an odd sort of fella. Always seems to disappear into the middle distance.
Yes, he struck me as odd at first, but it's only shyness. I've met him several times having a noggin at the pub, and he's really rather good company.
Well, let's hope he makes an equally good guide. I'd like us to be top of the takings again this year. Really put old Bertie Wiltshire's nose out of joint.
Oh, why so vindictive?
I'm not being vindictive, my dear boy. I laid odds with Wiltshire that we beat him this year. I want to collect.
Ooh, rash of you making that bet.
Well, perhaps, perhaps not. But to be quite honest, I'm fairly confident we'll beat him. It's the gimmick, you see.
Well, what gimmick?
Well, the model railway. For every person who loves a lord, there are 10 who love a model railway. The public loves this one. It came to be the most valuable thing in the house, this set of trains. Pretty ironic when you think of that bastard Napoleon alone.
Ironic? My dear father, it's pathetic. Why particularly that bust of Napoleon?
Eh? Oh, yes, of course, you were away in the Persian Gulf at the time, weren't you? We found it was full of lurid and unpublished letters from Josephine.
Well, there you are. Still another priceless family treasure, yet you indulge in all this grubbing around for half-crowns. What's also absolutely unnecessary.
As far as the money's concerned, yes, of course. Ridiculous.
Exactly. You and Mother are almost indecently rich, yet you sell those two Rembrandts and heaven knows how many acres of property. But why all this elaborate pretense of being one of the impoverished aristocracy?
Oh, well, your mother needed some outlet for that wonderful energy of hers. She thought she could best find it trying to help those of our friends who are less well-endowed than we are.
Just because poor, maudy little Hampton hasn't a penny, why pretend to be impoverished ourselves? Inverted snobbery, I call it. Keeping up with the Joneses the other way round.
Oh, that's a bit odd. Your mother looked on it as a gesture. After all, you know, there's a nice protective feeling if people think that everybody's in the same boat. So we bailed out a few of our possessions and to pretend to keep afloat ourselves.
Father, it's an elementary law of the sea that if you put too many people in one boat, it capsizes.
You're just being awkward, Mordaunt. Anyway, why are you kicking up all this fuss? It's only a mild deception. Doesn't hurt anybody. Oh, go and ask your mother about it. She can explain it much better than I can.
I guarantee Mother often regrets having taken it on.
Yeah, perhaps. It's strictly between ourselves, I think she does regret it sometimes. But it helps take her mind off things.
Well, all right, Father. I'm sorry. Don't rub it in.
It wouldn't be so bad if Anthony was still alive. He was such an outlet for that energy. Poor old Anthony. Now I mention him, you know your pushing off to Canada has rather thrown her back on her old hopes about him.
Surely she can't believe after all these years that Anthony's still alive?
I think she really does. There were at least a dozen fellows she claimed to identify as your elder brother when we were in Singapore last year.
That must have been rather embarrassing.
Oh, well, an understandable association of ideas. After all, it was out there we last saw him, and being out there again, I suppose she hoped she might run across him. Hope springs eternal, you know.
Hello, I'm home.
Oh, there she is now. Honey, I didn't hear the car.
Headingley, I'm terribly sorry. Hatters were right out of prawns. Oh, hello, darling.
Oh, hello,
my dear. Hello, my dear.
It was good of you to try me, lady.
Well, I know how you love them, and I hate disappointing you. Oh, these parcels.
Thank you, my lady, but I'm not at all disappointed. The last thing I want now is a prawn. Would you care for some tea?
No, thank you. I had some before I left town.
Very well, milady.
Well, I must say I'm glad to be home. I had a wild ride in the train.
Why on earth didn't you ring up for the car, Diana?
I didn't dare. There were spies everywhere, Percy.
Eh?
Who, for instance, is that man outside, the one trailing around after Headingley?
Well, the new guide.
Oh, what a relief. Silly of me to be so suspicious about strangers, I suppose. Thinking all of them might be spies. But I'm always so much more conscious of spies after a meeting.
Spies? A meeting? What are you talking about, Mother? What sort of a meeting have you been to?
A trade union meeting, dear.
Trade union? What were you doing there?
I have every right to be there. I am a fully paid-up member.
You? Belong to a union?
But of course, dear, everybody does.
What union?
Stosh.
What's the matter, Father?
Nothing. Why?
I thought you swore.
No. I was telling you about your mother's union. Stosh. That's its name. S-T-O-S-H.
The Society for the Titled Owners of Stately Homes.
Oh, good heavens. And just what do you talk about at these meetings?
What everyone talks about at a trade union meeting, dear. Money.
And how did this come into being, this incredible union?
Well, we all got together on one Gold Cup day, and by the end of the third race, we'd voted to council and declared a closed shop.
Oh, my sainted aunt.
None of your aunts were saints, dear. And why so surprised? We had to prevent exploitation somehow.
Exploitation by whom?
By what are laughingly known as our peers.
But aren't they all members of this union?
Well, of course they are, darling. Our union was formed to protect ourselves from each other.
Oh, well, I don't know.
You see, before Stosh established a price freeze, there was the most awful mix-up over admission charges. Some shocking undercutting. For instance, you could go round Thorpe Abbey for 1 and 9. What they were for them, they had no overheads.
The only roof left at Thorpe Abbey was the one in the Great Hall. Why, just 5 miles away, poor Dora Lemure's roof covers half an acre and is supported by 200 cherubs. She couldn't possibly manage on 1 and 9 a head.
Of course not. We had to take a firm stand somewhere, and we took it at 0.5 crown.
Needless to say, Bertie Wiltshire wanted to make it 3 shillings. Of course, you know their family motto, charity begins at home.
I'd no idea you were so highly organized. I still can't say I approve of it or what it stands for. I can't see that there's any dignity in letting mobs of gaping morons through one's house at 0.5 crown a time, union rules or not. Besides, what you're fondly trying to preserve is as dead as the dodo. Can't you see your way of life is an anachronism?
Well, I don't know what that means, dear, but it sounds most unpleasant.
Mother dear, it's just that people look faintly ridiculous trying to live up to something that's falling down.
There. I knew it must be something frightful.
Your existence is nothing more than a fossilized attitude, a quaint exhibit under glass, as musty as moths in a museum.
Ah, musty as moths, indeed.
I think moths are rather pretty.
Excuse me, my lord. Henson is waiting to go round the home farm with you.
Oh, blast! I'd forgotten him. Oh, very well, Headingley. I'll be out in a minute.
And when you have a moment to spare, my lord, might I have a talk with you and her ladyship?
Eh? Oh, yes, of course.
Thank you, my lord.
I declare, Headingley sounded faintly ominous just then.
Well, we'd better get over this straight away anyhow, whatever it is. Mordaunt, be a good fellow and go round with Henson for me, will you? And ask Headingley to come straight in.
Oh, all right.
By the way, you'll find Henson will end his tour of inspection conveniently near the Decrepit Arms. He likes his pint.
Must I? He's such a bore.
Cheer up. There's always Nellie behind the bar.
She's one of my reasons for emigrating.
Oh, dear, I still can't bring myself to believe he really means to go to Canada.
I'm afraid he does.
It seems such a waste. Couldn't you try just once more?
No, my dear. He's shown not the slightest interest in the estate and no sense of obligation in his inheritance. Besides, he called me a moth.
I remember when we used to be called butterflies. When we could be gay and extravagant and reckless. Oh, Percy, sometimes I long to cut loose again. Go away somewhere where nobody knows us. Charter a yacht and sail away and spend some money.
Now, Di, you've been so good about it all. And
so I should be. It was all my own headstrong idea. You're the one who should be moaning.
Why?
Well, just look at what you've given up. Your yacht and your beloved Rolls Royces.
Oh, I've got rather attached to my bubble car. Hey? Oh, Headingley, yes. You wanted to talk to us.
Yes, my lord. If I may, I would like to make a short speech.
What about?
Myself.
Oh, good heavens.
I realize it's a little unusual, my lord, but then this is an unusual occasion. In fact, it's unique. I wish to announce my resignation.
Your what?
Heading me.
My lord, my lady, this time next month, I shall have been with the family 54 years. At the end of the month, I shall leave its service. When your late grandfather was travelling to that bourne from which no traveller returns, in spite of subsequent rumours about the West Wing, his lordship left me a bequest. Since then, investment and development have paid considerable dividends, and it's through these dividends that I shall see you are both provided for. If your solicitor would care to get in touch with mine, they can discuss the terms of your annuity.
An annuity? Oh, Percy. Oh, for heaven's sake, say something to him.
How can I when I'm speechless?
Well, I... Oh, dear. Headingly, it's really very sweet of you. Such a kind thought, wanting us to have this annuity, but we can't possibly accept it.
Milady,
No. On the contrary, you must allow us to give you something. To add to your little nest egg. Right, Percy?
Yes, indeed.
And whilst we shall be very sorry to see you go, if that's what you really want, well, naturally we can't stand in your way, and... Oh, dear, all this is most unexpected and alarming.
I regret the fact that you're alarmed about my departure, m'lady, and I insist on you accepting my annuity.
But, Headingly...
Well, we can work all that out later. Let's not get in too much of a twit about things at present. I must say, though, it's very good your investment paying off so well, old chap. I had no idea Grandfather gave you a bequest. What on earth was it?
I put your grandfather to bed one night, my lord, when he was incapable of getting there by himself. And the next morning he insisted on my having some reward, so he gave me a small piece of Australia.
Australia? Well.
Quite, my lady. I have already arranged for a Mr. Smith to take over my duties. With your permission, m'lady, I will introduce him to his duties during my last month of service.
Oh, yes, by all means.
Thank you, m'lady. Thank you, my lord.
Percy, what on earth are we going to do?
Somehow or other, talk him out of making us this annuity, bless his old heart. And get used to this fellow Smith, whatever his name is, been around the place, I suppose.
Yes, place won't seem the same when Headingley isn't there. It'll all be so different.
What's the matter with you two? You look as though you have all the problems of the world on your shoulders.
Well, we have, more or less.
You've been quick, haven't you, Mordaunt? Doesn't the home farm exist any more?
Oh, Henson said he'd rather wait and go round with you tomorrow.
Oh.
Say, what is the matter with you?
An epidemic has hit us. First, you're off to Canada, and now Headingley's off to Australia.
What?
Headingley, he owns half Australia.
Huh?
We haven't quite grasped it ourselves yet, Mordaunt. All we know is that Headingley's resigned.
Good Lord. Hey, but what's this about Australia?
He owns it.
Oh, Di, dear, please. Now, we mustn't let this unsettle us too much.
Well, I am unsettled. I'm extremely unsettled. Headingley going down under, Mordaunt going to Canada, and... Mordaunt, while I think of it, you haven't any horrid little scheme of sneaking off to Canada while I go to Scotland next week, have you?
Of course not.
Canada's such a long way away, and goodness knows when we shall see you again, dear. How long are you going for?
And darling, I'm emigrating.
Yes, I know. So's everybody else. But they seem to come back. Still, never mind. You'll have a heavenly time while you're there making new friends and avoiding old ones. Percy, wouldn't it be wonderful if Mordaunt ran into Antony over there?
Now, Diana, why on earth should Antony be in Canada?
Well, he has to be somewhere, dear, and Canada's so fashionable these days.
Oh, please, Di. Now, come along, dear. We'll go for a nice walk in the garden and get everything worked out step by step. Canada and Australia, Mordaunt and Headingley, Antony, everything.
Antony? Couldn't have been more than 7 last time I saw him. Well, probably wouldn't recognize him if he walked into the room now.
Excuse me, sir.
Oh, yes, sir. Smith, isn't it?
Yes, sir. Mr. Headingley asked me to bring in the afternoon's mail.
Oh, thanks. Smith?
Sir?
You know, I can't help feeling I've seen you somewhere before. Somewhere away from here. Would that be, sir?
Possibly, sir.
Odd. Can't quite place your face, though. Oh, it'll probably come back to me sometime. Hope you like it here, Smith.
I do, sir. Yes, very much. I hope now I'm here, I'll be able to stay for a long time.
Hmm? Oh, yes, of course. I'll just take these letters out to my father.
Yes, sir.
Still no recognition, Mr. Antony?
No, Headingley. Mordaunt always had a shaky memory for faces.
You're still determined not to let them know who you are just yet?
Hmm. I'll tell them when the time's right. It is good to be back home, you know.
I imagine so, sir. Yes, after your experiences over the last 20 years, Japanese prison camp during the war, the Australian police force afterwards, well, home must look so good to you now. I still can't help feeling it strange, though.
Hmm?
Well, not wanting your parents and your brother to recognize you, and the fact that they haven't recognized you. I did.
I got him, Headingly. I got him. Ah, the thrill and heat of the chase. Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Whom did you get, my lord?
A rat. A great big rat. I can resist a pretty woman, but I can never resist a rat. Imagine it. A rat as big as a rabbit in the cafeteria. And I caught him with my bare hands.
Congratulations, my lord.
Of course, I had to stun him with a bust first, but I got the blighter. That's the main thing. Haven't I seen you somewhere before?
My successor, Andrew Smith, my lord.
Oh, yes, of course. How do you do?
How do you do, my lord?
Very well. Headingly, you might get Forbes to do something about that rat. I'm afraid it's rather squashed.
Yes, my lord.
My father used to stuff all the animals he destroyed, Smith. You've probably seen him in the gun room. Nowadays, everyone takes their photographs. But this one wasn't really looking his best.
That's unfortunate, my lord.
Yes. Well, I suppose her ladyship will be back soon, Headingly, eh? My wife's away in Scotland at present, you know, seeing her father off. He's going round the world while it's still there. Are you living in the village?
Yes, my lord. With Mrs. Potter.
Oh, yeah, dear old soul. You met Mr. Mordaunt, of course?
Yes, my lord.
Yeah, Mordaunt's the younger of the two boys. I had an elder lad.
Yes, Mr. Headingly did.
Nice boy. I was governor in an outpost of Empire when he came out for a holiday. War was declared, so he stayed on with us. But then the Japanese invaded and carted him off. I suppose they thought he was old enough to be put to work for them. Poor little chap. Still, his mother thinks he's probably somewhere about. He never was much good at writing letters. Well, I think I'll have a whiskey and soda on the strength of killing that rat. Splendid effort on my part, even if I do say it myself. Getting the better of the beast. I remember once when I was in India, and there I was face to face with a man-eating tiger. I don't suppose Smith brought the Guardian in here for me, Mordaunt. He sketches in the crossword for me.
I haven't seen it, Father.
You wanted the Guardian, my lord.
Ah, yes, that's it. Thank you, Smith.
I wanted to ask about her ladyship's arrival.
Any time now, I should think.
Quite so, my lord. But not having met her ladyship, I wondered if...
Oh, good lord, I was forgetting that. She went away before you were properly installed here, didn't she? It's only 3 weeks. Well, you settled down so well, it might be 3 years.
Thank you, my
lord. No, don't worry about her ladyship. Good heavens, no. I'm sure the two of you will get along like a house on fire.
Yes, let us hope so, my lord. Thank you.
Yes, my word, you will. Capital fellow, that Smith, eh, Mordaunt?
I like him enormously. He's doing very well here, too. Headingly's going seems to have caused no more than a ripple.
Poor old Headingly. That hysterical leave-taking. 16 pieces of baggage and Mrs. Birkin.
Had he ever promised to marry her, do you think?
Oh, no more, I imagine, than Pickwick said he'd marry Bardwell. Mrs. Perkins certainly let fly with some Dickensian wild talk. I must say, I'm rather glad your mother wasn't here to witness it.
I imagine she's being treated to some pretty fine wild talk in Scotland right now. Our relatives up there have hysteria down to an art.
Ah, poor darling. It can't be much fun for her at all. Dreadful thing to have happened, her father going off like that.
Yes, so sudden. Well, there was Grandpa throwing in the party the size of a royal ball, and the next minute the whole thing turns into a wake.
Yeah, I wish she'd let me come up there for her, be with her.
When has Mother ever willingly let you face the unpleasantnesses of life?
Never.
Oh,
Mother.
Oh, why, Di, darling. I didn't hear the car. No one told me you were back.
Well, I wanted to surprise you, and I'm glad I have.
Oh, it's the most wonderful surprise. How are you? Feeling better?
Oh, yes. More or less over it now, Percy. As a matter of fact, being quite honest, there wasn't much to get over. The whole thing was almost too funny to be gloomy.
Funny?
Well, I didn't mention it in the letter, dears. I didn't want to run the risk of the truth getting into the wrong hands. You see, everyone thought Father died of a heart attack, but he didn't. If they knew how he really died...
Well, how did he die, for heaven's sake?
Laughing.
What?
died of laughter. And he literally couldn't have timed it better. You see, he'd arranged a gift into Vivos for my brother.
Well, what's that?
Oh, a way of avoiding death duties. You make over all your money to your heir while you're still alive.
Yes, but the crux of the whole thing is that having given it all away, you have to live for another 5 years at least. Well, we were strolling in the gardens when suddenly he smiled and said, "Di, what's the date?" When I told him, he gave a great shout. Ha ha! He roared. "I've done it. I've lived a full 5 years." And then he started laughing. Well, he sat down and he was still laughing when he died. They're thinking of having a statue. Won't that be nice for him?
Oh, very nice. He was always mad about pigeons.
excuse me, my lord.
Yes, Smith, what is it? Oh, by the way, Diana, you haven't really met Smith yet, have you? Heading this replacement, you know.
Oh, why, of course. How do you do, Smith? I hope you'll be happy with us.
How do you do, m'lady? Thank you. I know I shall be.
Yes, now, you wanted something, Smith?
Evans has just brought in her ladyship's luggage, my lord. Would you like it set upstairs, m'lady?
Yes, please.
Very good, m'lady.
Oh, where was I now? Oh, yes, the funeral. Well, the only miserable part of the whole thing was the reading of the will. Isn't it odd how the moment a will is read, skin and bones begin to look like beaks and claws? Naturally, with everyone already and everything assigned to my brother, there was only... Who was that man who walked out just now?
Smith.
Who is he?
The new butler, of course.
Oh, yes, of course. The new butler. Well, there were only a few personal bequests. Morden, darling, your grandfather said that where you were going, time is money, so he left you his gold watch.
Oh, I say, that's very handsome of him. Oh, yes. It's magnificent.
Yes, indeed. Percy,
yeah?
Did you ever tell Father you'd like all the old back numbers of the Canary Keeper's Annual and the Tram Lover's Guide?
Good heavens, no!
Well, you've got them, dear.
Oh.
And a small paper knife. The pages are still uncut.
Oh.
Did you say that man's name was?
What man?
The new butler.
Smith, Andrew Smith.
Ridiculous. It's Anthony. I knew it in a flash.
No, my dear Diana.
I'm perfectly sure this time it's our son, Percy. I always knew he'd come back, and now he has. Oh, hasn't it suddenly become a glorious day?
And so the curtain falls on Act One of tonight's Caltex play, A Tune for a Trumpet.
If you care for your car, fill up with the gasoline designed to take better care of your car's performance. If you're already a confirmed Caltex man, you'll know what we mean. If you're not, fill up with Caltex Butane Boosted Gasoline and see what a performance difference there is. Caltex Butane Boosted Gasoline gives faster starts, smoother acceleration, and more economical running. The gasoline designed for today's faster pace, Caltex Butane Boosted Gasoline, takes better care of your car's performance. Drive in for Caltex Butane Boosted Gasoline at the sign of the Caltex Star, where we take better care of your car.
The Caltex Theater now presents Jeffrey King in A Tune for a Trumpet, Act Two.
Now, Di, really, you must not embarrass Smith by trying to make out he's Anthony.
How could he be embarrassed?
Because, well, he isn't Anthony. He's a butler, Smith, butler.
Anthony.
Di, dear, he's a rare treasure in these modern times, the perfect servant. He already manages to find anything I lose or drop or mislay. He even does me bending for me. Please, I beg you, don't unleash your maternal instinct on him. Just to get you ever thought he might be Anthony.
Oh, all right, if you insist.
Thank you, dear.
I've brought tea, my lady.
Oh, how thoughtful of you, Smith. Morden, come and sit down here and have some tea. Percy, you sit down next to me.
Righto.
Perhaps you'd be good enough to pour, Smith.
Of course, m'lady.
Freddie and Rosie are going to Japan for Christmas.
Eh?
Such a charming country, I always think. Japan. Don't you always think, Percy?
Who are Freddy and Rosie?
Smith, have you ever been to Japan?
Not recently, m'lady.
Oh, then you have been there.
Who are Freddy and Rosie?
Oh, Peter's cousins. If Freddy's thinking of sending their son to one of those schools where they teach you not to learn anything, where were you at school, Smith?
Eton, m'lady.
Oh.
Who's this Peter you're talking about?
Maud's son. Smith, when you left Eton, what did you do?
Unfortunately, m'lady, it was during the war. I had no option but to do as I was told.
Oh.
Diana, my dear, don't you think that
Smith,
you might...
you're not married, are you?
Not at present, m'lady, but I have been married 3 times.
3?
Yes, m'lady. Will that be all?
Oh, yes, yes, that's all.
Thank you, m'lady.
Oh, champagne. We must have champagne.
What on earth are you talking about now?
Sit, darling. I'm a grandmother.
Rubbish. You're no more a grandmother now than you were when I married you.
But you heard what he said, dear. He's been married 3 times.
Oh, dear.
Even 3 swallows didn't necessarily make a summer, Mother.
I feel it deep down inside. One can't deny a grandmother's instincts, you know.
If there's anything like a mother's, the fairies have failed you again.
Oh, Percy.
I say, just as a matter of interest, supposing he is Anthony, your lost heir, what does your present heir do?
You mean you?
I mean me.
I thought you were going to emigrate.
So I am, but I just wondered if Mother had worked out the technical details of my styles and titles. Tiresome little details the passport people like to know.
But of course it would change everything. There you are, my dear. We must jog his memory, question him closely, and find out if he really is Anthony. Which I'm sure he is, of course. But we must find out for Morden's sake.
Morden, I could kill you. Pondering to your mother's whims like this?
Well, don't you take any notice of him, Morden, darling. Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful to see his face when I say, Smith, we know you are Anthony. And Anthony, darling, this is your father.
He'll probably faint dead away on the spot.
Percy, I don't care what you say. I am convinced he's my son. And I'm getting him here to put the fact to him.
No, don't ring for
it's
him.
It's too late. The button's pressed.
Oh, dear.
The poor dear's probably just suffering from a tiny bout of amnesia or something. And when I jog his memory, he'll realize everything. He'll fall into our arms, weeping with joy.
I don't like the idea of crying butlers falling into my arms.
See, he's coming.
M'lady.
Yes? You have something to tell us?
Yes, m'lady. Your son has returned home, Mr. Anthony.
Mother, how wonderful to see you again. Hello,
Ooh.
Father. Hello there, Mordant. Good to see you all again. Been a long time, eh?
Oh, I'm going to faint.
Yeah, give me some room and I'll join you.
Oh.
Oh, hello, Smith.
You finished dinner early, Mr. Mordant?
I couldn't bear another second at the table. Ooh, that brother of mine.
Oh.
If he is my brother, which I very much doubt, no brother of mine could be such a dreary creature. All his talk about the phenomenal business success he's been, how he's going to reorganize the place here. It may be a dreadful thing to say, but I wish he'd dropped dead.
You're disturbed that you're no longer the heir, sir?
Oh, good Lord, no. If he were my brother, I'd gladly relinquish everything. I don't want to be heir. But he isn't my brother. He couldn't be.
Well, I'm sure everything will work out in due course, Mr. Mordant.
Perhaps. I don't know whether Father's 100% convinced about him yet, but Mother... Yes, I think he's convinced Mother. Oh, you should see him in there at the table, lording it over everyone, making it quite clear what he's going to do and how everyone's going to benefit from it.
Father, I must confess my first reaction when I came through the gates of this house last year...
Did you say last year?
I came on September the 21st and joined the conducted party around the house and grounds.
But I was on duty that day.
Quite so, Mother. You served me with a nutty crunch. Unfortunately, I had to throw it away. It was soft. As I was saying, my first feelings were of infinite sadness.
Quite right. Nothing worse than soggy tuck.
Percy.
Sorry, Di, but I do find it funny. Your maternal instincts slipping up on a nutty crunch.
Oh, go on, Anthony.
I was as moved as the rest of the party to hear of the derelict and needy state this house was in. When I got back to Huddersfield that night, I composed a questionnaire for myself.
Oh?
I've based my success in life on making out similar questionnaires by following what I consider to be the strongest line of duty.
And to what extent have you succeeded?
Materially, to about £20,000 per annum. But spiritually, I realize I'm impoverished. However, now I can do something to satisfy my soul. I can use that £20,000 a year to restore this place to its former glory. In short, I want to acknowledge my inheritance with more than an empty gesture. Mother, father, you have £20,000 at your disposal.
Oh. Well, what can we say?
Thank you.
Eh? Oh, yes, of course. Sorry.
As you know, I came here arousing as little curiosity as possible. My request that my true identity be not revealed to the servants and the public at large seems to have been observed by Smith. It would be so much better to get everything properly organized before giving an interview to the press and telling the world who I am.
When you speak about getting everything properly organized...
Your permission, I intend to use the East Wing as an operational base. Business efficiency depends on the saving of time and space. The waste in this house alone is appalling. Those dungeons, for example, why hasn't anybody thought of growing mushrooms in them?
I can't imagine.
However, that's beside the point. Mushrooms are trifles.
Truffles, dear, surely.
Please, Mother. What I propose is to make every inch of the house and estate pay for itself. Take the furniture, for instance. I know a bit about that sort of thing. We'll earmark all the stuff we want to keep. The rest we can sell.
We're not a bazaar.
We can turn the ballroom into a dance hall, the steward's pantries into coffee bars, and the old pantry will make a perfect dark room.
What for?
The resident photographer.
Oh.
Apart from the daily visitors, people who live in caravans like to be photographed in castles.
What caravans?
There's a perfect site down in Five Acre Bottom.
Oh, Percy, if we let him do it, we'll be thrown out of stosh.
Oh, I say. Has she fainted again? Odd. I imagined I'd inherited her iron constitution. Obviously it was yours.
For heaven's sake, stop talking and fetch Smith.
Oh, yes, of course. When Mother recovers, I'm sure you'll both appreciate how opportune my return is. For myself, I have no doubt about it. Oh, and as soon as one can, spiritually, one should call a halt to the manufacture of jelly babies. All right, I'll get Smith.
Di, darling, are you all right?
Oh, hello, Percy.
Yes, dear.
Did I faint?
Well, I was under the impression you did.
It must have been subconscious. I distinctly thought I heard someone say, jelly babies.
Are you all right, m'lady?
Yes, don't fuss, thank you, Smith. There's nothing the matter with me now.
Hey, what's happened? I met that brother of mine going out the front door, and he said you'd passed out.
And so I did, dear, in a fashion. But everything's all right now.
I am glad to hear it, m'lady.
Percy, Mordaunt, what are we going to do? All our fabrication about the house, the estate, our wealth, everything. So that we could belong to Stosh, and now he's going to ruin it all. Oh, dear.
Father, would you please explain what's going on?
Well, whilst your mother's been fondly imagining a lean and bronzed Antony heroically sailing before the mast, or some such romantic twaddle, in point of fact, he's been minting money in the flesh pots of Huddersfield. According to him, he was only doing his duty, so he could come home with a bulging purse for a prodigal's welcome.
Huh. You'll pardon my mouth hanging open.
Yeah, I agree. Not very convincing, is it? Apparently, he had an attack of social conscience.
Poor Antony. He came home with the most charitable intentions. How was he to know they were misguided?
Well, he might have guessed. Good intentions usually are. Anyway, he's got us in a cleft stick. He's not only going to open the cupboards and throw out all the skeletons, he's going to put paper hats on them and sell them as souvenirs.
Oh, no.
They are big business. He intends to make the estate pay.
Oh, that is so you drummed out of the union with a vengeance. Oh, no wonder you fainted, Mother.
Darling, I had to. He'd already sold half the furniture and filled the place with fungus. Mushrooms of the dungeons. Percy, you must talk to him. Tell him to go back to Huddersfield and just visit us from time to time.
Well, what's the good of that? He'd only go and brew up a few more lucrative little schemes.
Of course, there's always the chance his lucrative little schemes won't turn out quite as lucrative as he hopes.
Mordaunt, I believe you've cast a pearl. Yes, of course. The excess profits tax.
What?
I've been wondering why Antony should turn up just now. Obviously, his jelly babies have profited. Not wisely, but too well.
Yes.
Hey?
I said yes.
Why?
because I've just thought of something to prevent Anthony from wrecking our carefully built-up little pretense that we're as hard up as anyone else. Something really wily and cunning and very feminine and very, very subtle. Yes, I shall lead Anthony gently away from his schemes without hurting his feelings at all.
Yeah. Mordaunt, you'd better go and keep an eye on your mother. I always prepare myself for the worst when I see that look on her face.
Righto, I'll see if I can find out what she's got in mind. Oh, sorry, Smith.
My fault, sir. May I clear the things away, my lord?
Yes, Smith, yes.
I hope her ladyship is fully recovered, my lord.
Oh, yes. Not surprising she keeled over, though, I suppose. We haven't had so much excitement for years. Now, the boy's so full of all sorts of notions. Smith, I don't mind telling you he's put us in a very delicate position.
I can well imagine, my lord.
Yes, extremely delicate. However, I'd better get out of your way, Smith, give you a clear go here. Dash it all, why couldn't he have stayed in Huddersfield?
Oh, Smith, have you seen my copy of The Economist anywhere?
No, sir. However, if you wish, you may borrow mine.
Yours? Are you interested in economics?
They're often good for a laugh.
Oh.
You'll find my copy on the first table in the hall.
Oh, thank you. Well, by the way, I must thank you for your tact these past couple of days. You've been very discreet about my arrival here with the servants. I thought it better they shouldn't go gossiping about the place till I was ready to announce my return to the press. But when I do, I'll see they get their fair share of perks.
Perks, sir?
Articles for the papers. That sort of thing. One of the housemaids can say she saw a vision.
I'm afraid I don't quite understand.
Oh, it's being done all the time. I saw him on the stairs a week before he returned, says pretty parlourmaid.
I'm sure we can do without perks like that.
Oh? Don't you feel it might be better if I decide what shall and what shall not be done around here, Smith?
As you wish, sir.
Hmm. How long have you been in service, Smith?
From a very early age. I started as a fag at school.
A fag, eh? Oh, well, you can't begin too soon. Nothing like discipline.
For all of us, sir.
Eh? Hmm, quite so. Have we any playing cards here?
The top right-hand drawer of the desk in the study.
You might fetch them for me when you've finished here.
Very well. You play poker, don't you?
Yes, why? Want a game?
No, thank you, sir. I never play outside my own school.
Afraid of losing?
On the contrary, I was born lucky, they tell me. Talking of schools, do you remember Polycarp?
Polycarp? No, I can't say I do.
Well, no matter.
You weren't here in Old Headingley's day, were you, Smith?
I was for a time.
I don't remember a great deal about him.
I'm not surprised to hear that.
Not seeing him for so long, one does tend to forget.
If I may say so, you seem to have forgotten a great deal about a number of things.
Do you think? What are you trying to say?
Just making an observation, sir.
I see. Exactly what did you mean by mentioning that word Polycarp?
Nothing in particular. It may be interesting, though, to see how long it takes you to remember it.
You're talking in riddles, Smith.
Am I? Forgive me, sir. In future, I'll try not to be so abstruse.
Do that. I suppose you've heard what I intend doing with this estate?
I've heard snippets, sir.
Do my ideas appeal to you?
Does it really matter whether they do or don't?
No, I don't suppose so, but as a matter of interest, you may care to pass an opinion.
Well, sir...
Oh, I say, what's happened to the lights? Fuse must have blown. What on earth was that?
Be well.
Good Lord, what is it? A ghost?
By the hand of witch and warlock, time shall take the hind and forelock of the eldest son, ere his course is run, and the second son. In heaven
help us, that was a ghost.
No, sir, your mother.
Eh?
Ah, and there we have the lights on again. Of course, rumours abound here that we are haunted, but that was not one of the apparitions.
Mother? Well, why on earth should she go on with that nonsense?
Perhaps she's hoping to frighten you away from the place.
Why should she want to do that?
She may feel your sudden return will disturb her life too much.
How dare you say that?
No. You ask for my opinion about your plan, sir.
Her ladyship's ideas and mine match up reasonably well. If there was some way I could frighten you into leaving, I'd be tempted to try it.
My mother is delighted over my return, Smith. And one more remark like that from you, and we'll see who leaves.
I always believe in giving honest opinions, sir.
Very well. So you may not have much faith in my plans at present, but... I'm a tolerant man, Smith. Easygoing, one might even say. I'm prepared to overlook what you just said. Yes, you'll grow to like my ideas in time. It's essential you do, as a matter of fact.
Why, sir?
Because you're a very good butler, even if you are a little outspoken. You can be of great help to me. Yes, indeed. So we'll just forget that little contretemps happened, eh?
Very well, sir.
Yes, that's the way. You mentioned rumours about the place being haunted. Tell me more about that. Being away so long, I've forgotten all the legends.
The West Wing is supposed to be haunted by your great-grandfather. Many people swear they've seen him. His presence is first announced by an echoing hiccup, after which the spectre comes lurching down the corridor, smelling of rum.
Whew! And what happens then?
He usually trips over his feet, falls flat on his face, and disappears.
Oh, bad luck.
Why, sir?
Well, then he's not more fearsome. If only he'd clank some chains and let out some blood-curdling screams. That's the sort of thing the tourists want from a ghost, you know. They like to be scared.
Oh, no, I believe there's nothing at all scaring about your great-grandfather.
Doesn't he do anything more than pass out?
If one should be standing before the spot where he collapses, he will attempt to tell one a few slightly risque stories, but he always forgets how they end and has to be prompted, which tends to take the guilt off the gingerbread, as it were.
Oh, yes, shame that. I'll have to see what can be done. Maybe I could hire an actor to scream and moan as a ghost up and down the West Wing.
And frighten your great-grandfather, sir? I'm sure his lordship would never stand for that.
Smith, you're not trying to have a joke at my expense, are you?
I wouldn't dream of such a thing, Mr. Antony.
The main thing is to get the papers talking about it. That ought to bring out the psychical research people. They're always worth some publicity. We must apply for a special license and turn the stables into bars. Oh, there's no end to this. The place is an untapped gold mine.
And regardless of what effect it will have on the lives of his lordship and her ladyship, you're going to tap it, eh?
Well, of course I... What do you mean, regardless of the effect it will have on their lives?
I think this nonsense has gone far enough now.
Smith, I said I was prepared to overlook the previous occasion when you stepped over the line, but...
But what?
Confound you, you instrument!
Sit down, friend. It's time you and I had a sensible talk.
One word from me, Smith.
Yes, that's all it needs. One word.
Oh, I'm sick of this. Clear out. Go on. You have your notice. Pack your things and get out. I'll find someone else to replace you.
No, I doubt it. However, you. I'm sure we won't have any trouble replacing you.
What? How dare
I've packed your suitcases. They're in the back of the car. You can leave immediately.
What?
And the car's at the side door to make it more convenient for you. No one should see you leaving from there. I'm sure you'd prefer not to be seen.
Now, look here.
I have. I wish you could see your face.
What?
We were talking about schools earlier on, you remember?
Schools?
Poker schools. I was reminding you how unwise it is, Arthur, to gamble outside your own school.
Just what are you?
In this school, Arthur, I hold all the aces. You haven't a chance.
You're off your head. Where's my father? Arthur?
Your father died, didn't he?
What?
I seem to recall he died quite a number of years ago.
I don't wish to appear inquisitive, but can you prove that?
As conclusively as I can prove that you're not Antony Viscount Sequester. Your name isn't even Denton, is it? You changed it when you were expelled from Eton. By the way, I never caught up with the full story on that.
You seem to think you know a lot about me. Were you at Eton?
I was.
With me?
Yes.
I don't remember you.
As far as I recall, you were owing me 5 bob, a pint of champagne, and a tin of baked beans.
Polycarp! What do you know about Polycarp? There were only 3 of us in that gambling club.
That's right. You were Polly Doodle.
Scratcher Paul was killed in France, and Pretty Paul was reported missing, presumed dead.
Exactly. Only presumed.
Antony?
Of course.
Good Lord. But what happened? Where have you been?
Well, that's a long story, but not for now. I'll tell you some other time.
But what the devil's all this butler charade?
It's my way of trying to work my passage home. It gives me time to acclimatize myself to the family and the old way of life.
Well, I'm blown. Oh, this is mad, the whole thing. It's superbly sketchy mad.
Well,
what have I got to be so cheerful about? I've been stacking my chips for 2 years on this gamble.
That's why I wouldn't play you. I told you I was holding all the aces. But whatever possessed you to try such an impossible gamble?
You should know me, if anyone does. Just the gamble. A little bit of a risk, a little bit of luck, a lot of vanity. And you know, it wasn't all that impossible with you out of the way, as I thought. We were often mistaken for each other as boys.
20 years have made a few changes.
I don't mind saying, I think I've weathered them better than you, old boy.
Perhaps.
Well, of course, the game's up now, so I'd better take your advice and go for my life. Here.
What's that for?
The 5 bob I owe you. A tip for packing my things and getting the car ready. I'll hear that story of yours one day over a pint of champagne and a tin of baked beans. How quickly the mighty can fall. Yeah, it's a shame. A beastly shame. Cheerio, old chap.
Smith, have you seen my son?
Which one, m'lady?
Mr. Anthony.
Oh, Mr. Anthony. Well, he thought he saw a ghost walk in here earlier tonight.
Oh, did he?
And it gave him such a fright, he packed his bags and rushed out of the house, swearing never to return. He's terribly afraid of ghosts.
Oh, isn't that marvellous?
I'm sure I know exactly what you mean, m'lady.
Who's gone off in a car this time of night? It's just gone whizzing down the drive like one of the bats out of the North Tower. It must have been that idiot Morton clowning about.
He's gone. He's taken off into the night.
Who has?
Anthony.
Good Lord.
But of course he's gone. Men, 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 what can you accomplish when there's a woman at hand? I organized his departure quite simply. All it needed was a little feminine guile. And I think I deserve a little party for being so clever. Let's have some champagne.
I just happen to have an ice bottle and some glasses here, m'lady.
Smith, what would we do without you?
I always make a point of having a bottle on ice. One should never overlook the possibility of burglars. I believe in approaching a burglar with a bottle of champagne. It's rather disarming.
Oh, well, Mother, I can't imagine how you managed to get rid of him, but it'll give us a bit of a breather at least. Have you thought how you could reconcile him to Stosh? You'd never persuade him to be a member.
The answer to that, dear, is quite simple. Stosh is bosh, and I can't think why I haven't said it before.
Ashamed of the paucity of your wit, no doubt.
I'm not trying to be funny, I mean it. That union is nothing but a great big bully, and I think it's high time someone stood up and said no. In the beginning, it was a very good thing, but now it's gone beyond the bounds. It's much too bossy, and I refuse to be bullied any more. Don't you agree, Percy?
Good Lord.
Darling, why are you staring at Smith like that?
Good Lord.
There, you see, he hasn't been listening. He's probably tired. I'll talk to you about it in the morning, Percy. You see, Mordaunt, all we have to do is resign from Stosh. What could be easier?
Anthony.
Champagne, Father?
No, darling, that's Smith. Anthony's just gone.
Champagne, Mother?
Thank you. Really, isn't your father extraordinary? When I call you Anthony, he says you're Smith. And now I call you Smith, he says you're Anthony. I really don't understand him at all. I'm afraid he's getting old.
So ends our Caltex play, A Tune for a Trumpet. In a moment, we will give you tonight's cast and tell you about next week's presentation in the Caltex Theatre. Ladies and gentlemen, the producer of tonight's Caltex play, Cressick Jenkinson.
Thank you. A Tune for a Trumpet was written by Gwen Cherrill and adapted for radio by John Crane. In the starring role you heard...
I played Percy, the 6th Earl of Decrepit.
This was Geoffrey King. The supporting cast was as follows. Smith, who was really Anthony, Walter Sullivan. Mordaunt, John Dennis. Headingley, Charles Tasman. Arthur Denton, the impostor, Leonard Bullen, and as Diana, Countess Decrepit, you heard Neva Carglin.
Thank you, Mr. Jenkinson. Next week in the Caltex Theatre, you will hear an adaptation of the moving Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer motion picture, The Vintage, the story of two Italian brothers at loggerheads with the law, and their attempt to lose themselves among the workers in the vineyards of France at harvest time. Be listening next week for The Vintage. Now, this is your compere, Rick Hutton, bidding you good night on behalf of your hosts, Caltex Oil, marketers of Caltex Super Gasoline and Caltex Gasoline, the world-famous RPM 1030 Special Motor Oil, and Marfac Lubrication.